Pray for that family. If you'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Fitting, I think, for what's been going on. And just as a reminder, and you know, you always wonder, maybe you don't wonder, but I do, I guess. As you look and study in Scripture and look for, maybe a thought the Lord give you to look at all week or study or Sunday school, or if you hear a preacher preach on a message, you always think, boy, I say this a lot. I know, boy, I didn't see that in there. Or where's that come from? Or that was good, or I'd never thought of that, or that's a different way of thinking about it. I mean, it's always something new in the Scripture. And I remember this week, I was praying and said, Lord, give me something new to look at. Of course, it's always new, depending on how you look at it. But here's a Scripture here in Jeremiah 32 that if I've ever heard it preached on or taught from, I can't remember when it would be. And so I got excited, of course. Like I said, always in the Word of God, but especially something that, and you think, well, how did I miss that? How did I go over that? So chapter 32, we're going to look at Jeremiah, and he buys a field. And you think, well, why is buying a field important, and how does it relate to what's going on today in our country? Well, him buying a field actually is a symbol, and we'll get into that. And it's a symbol of his faithfulness, God's faithfulness to Israel. And Jeremiah is an expression, I guess, or to the people of Israel, that God's going to keep his word. And so it's a long chapter, and we'll try to go through it, and we won't be turning anywhere else. There's 44 verses, I was going to say 45. But we'll stop along the way and talk about it and kind of make our way through it, and it may not take us the full time. But as you'll see here, Jeremiah had bought a field. That's what's going to happen. And he bought a place he couldn't see it. He couldn't go to it. You're going to find out in just a minute why. But a lot of these verses go back through, and they talk about, as you'll see, God's response to Jeremiah's prayer, Jeremiah's reconciliation, or I guess the nation of Israel's reconciliation back to God. And Jeremiah and his new purchase. And I thought about that too, as us as Christians when we're saved. You think about a heavenly Canaan, heavenly home, purchased possessions, something we're going to inherit. We can't see it now, but you trusted by faith when you were saved. Think about that. Trusted God's word, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, Jeremiah, as we read through that, keep this in mind. And see, that's why, I guess, as I was reading it, just can't help put a smile on your face. Think about that as we read that. It may not be new to you. You guys may have heard it preached on or somebody's Sunday school lesson before. But to me, it's like I found something new. It's like somebody got up and stuck an extra page in the Bible. And I said, well, boy, look at there. And so we're going to read about that and kind of look and how, he said, well, how does it affect us today? It's because whatever God's told us in the Word is true. It's going to occur all the way from Genesis to Revelations. And, it'll be scoffers in the last days, and we see that now. Be troubled times, we see that now. Pestilence of disease, you see that now. I could just this past week, we were going over diseases there in school, and different types of bacteria and stuff. And I remember writing on the board. I remember turning, looking at the class. I'd say, now, 10 years ago, I could stop right here. And they all looked at me funny. I said, but these three other bacteria that we really didn't know existed, maybe we did, but they didn't cause problems in people. But now they'll kill you. And here's the reasons why. And, the list every year, every two or three years, I add three or four more. And you say, well, we're just getting better at discovering it. No, they're showing up in places that we always knew people had trouble with, like lung disease or whatever. But now there's bacteria in there that you scratch your head and wonder where it come from. So what I'm saying is every little fine detail point in Scripture will come to pass. And that's what I really think from this message that Jeremiah or the Lord gives us today in this chapter 32 from Jeremiah really points out, is that it all comes to pass. And Jeremiah had the faith to know, even though you're going to send a man in his hard times. In chapter 33, if you'll just humor me just for a second, chapter 33, verse number 3, I guess, really kind of summarizes everything up, even though it's in 33. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And so that's what we'll see as we go through Jeremiah 32. That was kind of God's answer to him as well. So call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Because Jeremiah is going to ask, you know, why did you have me buy this land? And if you've not heard this before, or seen this, or read it, it's going to be interesting to you. And it'd be something you'd think that would be out of place. So we'll get started. I've spoken too much because I'm excited about just reading it and hoping you'll, Lord, will speak to you and encourage you to study it out some more. Because for the sake of time, there's a lot in here. Verse number 1, chapter 32, Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, I guess is the way he said it. Which is actually, I'd made a note here who that was. If I can go back and I'll find him. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what I thought. It was just a different spelling. Now you said, uh-oh, we'll stop right there. That Nebuchadnezzar name's come up again. Remember, we talked about him not long ago. He was on the horizon getting closer and closer. And that was when King Uzziah was in power in Israel. And he found the book and the temple. And Israel had turned back. And, you know, they couldn't see that, judgment was right on the horizon, but you know he was held. God held him back while King Josiah was in, and we see now all that's passed, and now Nebuchadnezzar's right there at the door, so to speak. For then, so Jeremiah's in that. That's going on. Said for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. So times came, judgments upon them. You know that's what Jeremiah had been prophesying about. So that times came. So you can see now why it's getting, you said, wait a second, Brian, a while ago you just told us Jeremiah buys land. So he's going to buy land in wartime, just watch. He said, in Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. In other words, he was in jail. He said, wait a second, so Jeremiah's not even out to witness all that. No, he knew it was coming, but he's in jail. Actually, when you read that out, they said they put him in a small courtyard. And it was guarded, but it wasn't like a prison cell like we think about Paul being in. That it was a small courtyard, and he had shelter, and he couldn't come and go, but people could come and go and see him, but he couldn't leave. So I think about it like, you know, wasn't like, I wouldn't think of it like an acre, but it'd be like a little outdoor, I don't know, jail-like area, I guess. So, in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house, for Zedekiah, verse number 3, for Zedekiah, king of Judah, shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. So, the king had put him there because he had prophesied against Israel's army, or against the nation of Israel. In other words, against Judah, said, you're going to fall, you're going to fail this day, Nebuchadnezzar's going to take you over. Of course, he told him that the entire time. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak unto him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. So the prophecy he had given him wasn't good. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though he fight with the Chaldeans, he shall not prosper. In other words, no way he's going to win. Battle's already over. That's what Jeremiah's prophesying. So here he is in this, we'll still call it jails. That's what it is. It's kind of like house arrest, but he just can't go anywhere. You know, they keep him there. There's really no freedom. He's already prophesying against the fall of Judah. You know, there's no way they're going to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. He's told them that all the way through the book. And because of their idolatry and because of their whoredom, it says, with other gods and getting away from the true God, this is what happened to them. And it's going to happen. In other words, judgment's coming. It's already there. There's no holding it back anymore. Judgment has surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is verse number 6. That's verse number 6. Verse number 7. So here's where it changes a little bit. So he's prophesied, kind of told us where Jeremiah was at. And in verse number 7, with all that going on, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. In other words, the Lord told him, said, you're going to have an opportunity to redeem some land. In other words, your nephew's going to come. And that would put Jeremiah next in line. That's how it worked in Israel. Sold it to family first. And however the lineage lined up, so it was Jeremiah's right to refuse, so to speak. And in verse number 9, it said, I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And if you go back and look, 17 shekels of silver back, that'd be worth about $10 or $11. So, city of Jerusalem is surrounded. Jeremiah's in prison, or the court of prison, it said. Kind of like house arrest. Can't go anywhere. He's prophesied against the king. He said, look, there's no way you can defeat Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to fall. We're going into captivity. Here's the reasons why. And he went through all that. But he took time out to buy property. So there's land for sale over here. Maybe it sounds like a good deal to me. I guess I need to buy it. That's not really what Jeremiah was thinking. He did it because that's what God had instructed him to do and told him that's what would occur. And he did that based on faith. Because are you going to buy or purchase something if you know you'll never get to see it? Or you know if your heirs will never get to see it? You think about that. In other words, he trusted God enough to say, you know, and again, that's why I had to mention that about the lineage and how they sold and bought property in Israel, in Jerusalem at the time. And you think about even Ruth, remember, and Boaz, and how property passes hands and you know, even right to marry, etc. You know, it gets more detailed. So here was a case where the nephew sold Jeremiah some property. So the next person about would be in Jeremiah's line because he bought it. But if you're overthrown by a king or another nation, who's to say you'll ever get back there to buy it? Like if we were ever taken over by another nation, and normally I would pass the house or if you had land or whatever it may be off to property, off to your family, that wouldn't occur if it was ruled by an outside ruler unless one day you got that land back. In other words, and they got your nation back. In other words, if the person that overthrew the invading army were to leave or to be pushed out. And see where I'm going with that? Jeremiah did that, and God had him do that as a sign or a symbol. Remember, the Jews require a sign. It's almost like you just couldn't tell them something. They had to see it. You know, had to see proof. And so that's what Jeremiah is doing. Even though he prophesied against the king, he said, but there will be a day when Israel will be restored. Here, I'm even going to purchase some land right before we're taken over. And to do that, let's look here. And it said, verse number 10, it said, and I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him in the money and the balances. In other words, they did everything legal and above board. They didn't just say, well, just slip that to me under the table. Because it ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. We're going to be overthrown anyway. Nobody can stop this army. But Jeremiah said, no, I want it all done legal, all done above board. And you think about, as I mentioned earlier, about us as Christians. Christ died on the cross for us. It was all legal. It was all done. Everybody could see. Cloud of witnesses, people all around. They saw what happened. Had the apostles left. They went about preaching. Of course, think about Paul. Of course, Peter, John, others. Went about preaching the gospel and the word. Of course, after Christ was crucified and ascended back into heaven. It was all done. Everything was, I guess, as far as the word of God went, and ever cross T and dotted I that was mentioned in the scripture, it was done according to what the word of God had said as far as Christ being crucified for our sins, dying for the whole world. And it was all done so you would know. And then as we mentioned earlier, we've got a heavenly home, a place as Jeremiah never saw this property, never saw this plot of land. He believed it was there. And then one day if he didn't inherit, somebody in his family would. That's the same way with us. We've never been to heaven, but we know it's there. And one day we'll get to go there. And then by faith, we're saved. You think about that. So by faith, Jeremiah, that's what he's showing the nation of Israel, you will return. Let me continue. But everything had to be legally done. He had enough confidence to know that one day he's going to have to, somebody in his family is going to have to show the papers, so to speak, that it was done. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neri, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. In other words, I made it known that I purchased this land. I didn't do anything in secret. I had the seal that it was sold. And I charged Barak before them, saying, verse number 14, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. In other words, seal it up, put it somewhere so it will, be found later or be kept so someone could read it, legal documents, so to speak. He had enough confidence to know that one day we will return. He's thinking, I may not, but somebody will, and they can claim my land because it's my family's. And we get here to verse number 15. For thus saith the Lord of the hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now we get to where Jeremiah, he did that because that's what God wanted him to do. And we're told that here. Said, of course, he prophesied verses 1 through 6. And then verses 7 through 15, the Lord asked him, said, I need you. You know, you're going to have a chance to buy some property. You buy it. And Jeremiah, by faith, did that. And he had him seal it, get all the documents prepared and seal it. Of course, one was open to show that it had been sold. Another one, he sealed it up. That way, if it took 70 years, 100 years, 150, whatever it may be, Jeremiah knew. He said when they come back, they'll be able to read and see that. But Jeremiah also has a prayer. He asked God. After all that's said and done, sometimes we're this way. As Christians, sometimes it's not like we don't put on an act. I don't want to say that. But sometimes we seem to be very positive and try to, as Jeremiah did and said, the Lord, you know, we're going to come back to this land one day. We're going to come back to Israel. And it won't always be in the hands of the enemy. And you think about that, especially with our nation itself. And said, well, what's going to happen to us? What, you know, where are we going? What happens in families? Why do some families get broken up? Why are some saved, some not? I mean, you get these questions sometimes. In verse number 16, Jeremiah has a prayer. In his prayer, he asks why. He stops and asks God why. He said, why did you have me buy that land? Why did we do this? Even though up above that, it looks like. And see, that sometimes lets me know, maybe not you see it this way, but I try to look at that, and I guess because maybe sometimes we get down on ourselves or get discouraged. These were just men and women like us. And that's Jeremiah. Now, he was a prophet of God. And God showed and revealed things to him. But still, he gets down like Elisha, you know. He gets down to where sometimes he has questions or he gets fear or has fear. And he seeks the Lord's advice. And in this case, he wasn't afraid, but he was curious on why this occurred. He said, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out an arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse number 20. Which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day and in Israel among other men, and has made thee a name, and at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and a stretched out arm and with great terror. You know, as you read that, that kind of gives a brief history of how blessed the nation of Israel had been, what all God's done for them. And I never noticed that here, never found that before here either. You know, other places in Scripture you can find that. But here Jeremiah gives a synopsis, so to speak, of what all God's done for them. And has given them this land which thou didst swear to thy fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse number 23. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar's outside the walls, just waiting to come in. Behold, the mounts, they are coming to the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and because of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. Thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of Chaldeans. So he's getting ready here. We look at verse number 26. He goes over and he tells, you know, God, look how good you've been to us. And it's been our fault as a nation, as a people. We've gotten away from you. We've forgot what you've done for us. As he said here, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing at all thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. In other words, you gave them a lamb, milk, and honey. Look how we've treated you. Verse number 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You think about that. Because Jeremiah here, as he prophesied to the king, he said, Look, you're going to be overthrown. You're going to be killed. The Chaldeans are going to take over. Nebuchadnezzar is going to take this, going to take people away. The walls of Jerusalem are going to be broken down. But in the middle of that, he says, Well, I'm going to buy this property, though, for about 17 shekels of silver, equal to about $10 or $11, and I'm going to get all these witnesses, make sure I buy it, and I'm going to do all the proper legal documents and set it aside, because we'll need that land again one day. Then as he goes away, Jeremiah, to pray, he gets that verse number 25 and says, And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. In other words, Lord, I trust you, and I did exactly what you said. But why? Why did you have me do that? That's what I see there. I know one day we'll be back, but what's the purpose of this? As we see in God's answer, it's going to be so that others may see. And that's why I mentioned in our lives, sometimes as Christians, it's hard for us to, we put a smile on sometimes, I know, and inside you may be asking yourself, why? I know sometimes there's a death in the family, and we'll say, why? I've been guilty of that. Why, Lord? Why did that occur? Or look at another family and wonder, why? What happened? And here shows a man of God here, a prophet, one that we know stuck by God through thick and thin, one that the people didn't like, and he still prophesied what God had him to say. He didn't back down. He'd say no. I'm not going to say he was hard on the children of Israel, but what he did, he did not mince words. He told them, this is what's going to happen. And still yet, he comes down to the point where he says, why'd you have me buy this field? It's going to be overthrown. The walls are going to be torn down. I know that. And we'll see God's answer. Of course, I love that in verse number 27. It says, is there anything too hard for me? So he replies back to Jeremiah, and he's getting more, and said, wait a second. Yeah, we're going to have all this happen, but I allowed it to happen. I can reverse the events too, so to speak. In other words, Israel can get their land back. Let's look at what he says. And I said, again, it's a long read this morning, but thank you for staying with me. So here's Jerusalem's being destroyed, but here's God's answer to Jeremiah. He said, Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Of course, Jeremiah knew that. He prophesied that. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth, for the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. In other words, he's answering Jeremiah. He's giving a response. He said, you already know why I've had to destroy Israel, why the kingdom is going to be lost and it's going to go into foreign hands or the enemy's hands. But he's reminding him of what's occurring and why. But Jeremiah, again, stopped to ask that. Sometimes I think about people we've lost in our congregation over the last year or so, year and a half. Or just over time, last 10 years or so, people go through your mind, you think about that, maybe someone in your family, something's occurred, and you wonder, how did this happen? Well, it's the point, sometimes I know, and I've heard said before, well, don't ask why. Well, I think Scripture says we can't ask why and get an answer. And that's right. And so as I continue to read here, that's what God's doing for Jeremiah. Let's continue here and see. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger, my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day. In other words, from the time they built this city, it's provoked me to anger from day one. And in that one verse, you see how, merciful God can be. He waited. It's been several, not just the next day, it's been years that they've been there. And he, over and over and over, God allowed them to repent, and they'd worship him for a while, and they'd fall right back into it. Worship him for a while, and they'd fall right back into worshiping idol gods. Then he said, from here, from the day they built it, even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face. because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of all the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, because of all them, he said, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of all the children of Judah. In other words, they provoked him to anger. He names everyone that's had a part. And said, now they have turned unto me, the back and not the face. They turned away from God. That's the most, when you read that, and I've heard that preached on before, and I've heard, I can't remember who it was, preached out of that one verse and said there's nothing more, you know, it's not simplistic, but yet in a way it is, because if you're not facing somebody, you're turned around. They're looking at your back. In other words, you've turned away from them. You've made that move, not them. You know, sometimes kids, I know, say, I know, of course, we've got teenagers in the house, but especially one in particular is older than the other two. And he's made comments for, well, I just don't know if we're speaking right now or talking. I said, well, that's because you've turned away. It's not because we have. And I think that's what God, and that's not going on now. I'm just saying in times past. You know, kids, sometimes they'll slow up over something. And I know it's hard to believe. Y'all probably don't have any kids do anything like that, you know. But at my house, sometimes they'll get soiled up over something. You know, maybe the phone's not available or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, and not now, but I think about that, and it's very simplistic. I know it sounds simple, but that's really what they did. They turned away from God. They soiled up. They went another way. They know better. You know what I mean? In other words, the children of Israel knew better than to worship God. Oh, we don't need God, so they turned away. They no longer faced him. They turned their back to him, and then they're in trouble. And that's why he said here, and they turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them. Though I taught them. I instructed them. They knew the right way. Rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called my name, to defile it. Does any of this ring a bell now to this time of age we're living in? Just stop and ask you just for a second. I used family as an example of turning faces because that's something we can all relate to with kids, grandkids, whatever. But think about just our nation. Does it sound anything familiar to you? And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries which I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place. That's why I had you purchase the land. Because one day, you may not be back, Jeremiah, but your family will. I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But in between there, what you've seen is a time of instruction, of direction, of, God, as much as we will our children or grandchildren, trying to mold and shape them and trying to give them advice and direction they need to go. And so this is what's right. Or you can apply that to any nation. Follow after God and the things of God. But you get away from that after a time judgment comes. But again, since we have a merciful God, after that time passes, much again, we'll use the family as a home. And you have to discipline your children, but you don't stay mad over that for a long period of time. You bring them right back in. Think about the prodigal son, went away from home. You know, wanted all his spoil, not spoil, but wanted all his inheritance. I couldn't think this morning, and he left home, but that dad kept looking for him, hoping one day he'd come back. And remember, he got down in with the hogs and was feeding them, and having to eat the slop at home. And one day I'm paraphrasing, but one day he said, you know, I'm gonna go back home. Said even my servants, my father's servants eat better than this. I'm going back. And I still think, and I think it might have been pastored, preached on that or mentioned it at least one time in passing, so that father's probably on the porch looking every day, and one day saw him coming down the road. Said, go kill the fatted calf. And you think about that, that's the way Israel one day will come back in. That's what he's reminding Jeremiah. I've not got to get moving. That was my alarm. But just a few more verses and we'll wrap up. He said, they shall be my people and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Verse number 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land whereof you say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidence and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and the places about Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and the cities of the valley and the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. So Jeremiah bought a field. He bought a field he couldn't see. But he knew one day somebody would get to see it. Somebody in his family that inherited it. And again, much like we are today as Christians, we're strangers and pilgrims. And I always think about that. I think about always Abraham and nomads and the kind of a nomadic way of life. And you know, most of us, I guess, we're not moving from house to house, but yet at the same time, we don't feel comfortable here, so to speak. We're not at home. We have a heavenly home. And Jeremiah, I'm sure he didn't feel comfortable even when he got taken over into captivity and Nebuchadnezzar ran him over, but he had confidence, he had faith. You know, Almighty God, as we've already seen here, he said, God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? So Jeremiah took his new purchase and he showed everyone what he had done. And again, that was a symbol to the Jews. It was an encouragement that you're going to have a hard time for a while, but one day it'll be better. But even Jeremiah in his own life had to stop and ask, why, Lord? And the Lord gave him his explanation why. I said, this is why. Because one day they'll return. One day they'll buy land again. And you buying that and sealing it and putting it aside is a, I guess, demonstration that one day we'll be back. And it's yours as I promised. And that's the main thing here to remember as I started out, and we're finished, is that every word in Scripture, every dotted I, every cross T, it's true. It will occur as we see and as you read. And that's why I mentioned earlier, and it's of course what we think about today is scoffers and maybe laugh at the Word of God, and laugh that we come down even to hear the gospel preached, and you know they think it's foolishness, and even just as you look around sometimes. I know even what occurrences, things we've had happen this past week, they think, I guess, would laugh or scoff at maybe some of the things people think or do. And I'm not talking about here, maybe what you think, but I just think nationally. You've heard all kinds of barbs, I guess, on both sides go back and forth. And you look into the Word of God, and if as a nation gets away from God, you're going to have turmoil. You're going to have infighting, so to speak. A lot of great nations have been around. You know, you look back through history, a lot of nations fell from within, not from without. Got complacent. And so anyway, that's all I had this morning. You've got time to visit. If anything, I looked at that and read that. To me, that's the first time I'd ever seen that, even run across that in Scripture. Take time this week, maybe read chapter 31, 30, leading up to that. Jeremiah's prophesying. Of course, it's always good. And then read after that. Chapter 33, I'm telling you, really opens up as well. Talks about our Almighty God and just what He can do for the people. And what he did, of course, in their lives and his promises to the nation of Israel. And, of course, then as they're carried away into captivity as well. So, got time to visit. Thank you for your attention.